I think that was a apropos song. And I look at the clock, and it is 11:40. We have our purpose statement, and we know, I'll talk about it. But I think if you get to the heart of who Denali Bible Chapel is we want to be a New Testament church. After Jesus, his death, burial, resurrection, the believers in Jesus and what he did came together, and they met each week having communion, having a love feast, and worshiping with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Every single one of them watched their clocks the entire time. I'm kidding. What they did was they went to learn. So sometimes we go over on things. We have too many prayers. We have too many times we talk about how we are trying to fellowship together. I get maybe a little too winded because sometimes my brain doesn't work as well as I would like. But does it matter? If we're trying to be a living church that has the Holy Spirit flowing through all of us, does it matter? Well, I think that is a good segue into what our purpose statement is. And we, as elders a few years ago, really felt that the church needed to have a point, a focus point, of what to go towards. And so we studied as an elder group, but then also us as a congregation did something called the Berean Challenge. And Kent did a whole several months study with us, looking at the different verses of the New Testament church, what it looks like and how it is to be led. And we came up with four things: belong, grow, serve, and go. And it's all wrapped up in the circle of all for the glory of God. And how that looks for Denali, we had to think about what basically is our mission, what is our goal, and what is our gifting. We've never been an extremely large church, and that's okay. We've never been one that can put on these extravagant open-air meetings, that kind of stuff, to bring in people. But what we have is a 60-year-plus legacy of people that said, okay, I'm following God. I'm going to follow him in the next step. A few years ago, we dwindled down to 30 or so people. And it was those people that were willing to say, no, this is important, I'm sticking around, that prayed and helped rebuild. So when we look at what Denali does well, two really big things come to mind. One is we love families, and we do that in regards to Awana and Youth for the Lord. We've done that, man, for 50-plus years. One of the first or seconds this side of the Mississippi. That's pretty cool. But we love kids, we love their families. And then the other thing is, we really have a heart for missions. We support at least 15 missionaries and many other ministries here in town. That's a heck of a lot of our budget. But we believe in the missions. So those two things I think we do well. We've learned to strip out the other things that don't help us learn to belong together, learn to belong to Christ, that don't help us to grow together. Maybe it's a fun program, but if it doesn't meet that need, then okay, it goes away. It helps us then to serve together. We serve through missions, and we serve through Awana, and we serve here at church. And then go. Once we're equipped, we go out, talk to other people, and we bring them back in to belong, and then to grow, and then serve and go. That's the whole thing about Matthew 28, the whole Great Commission. We first belong to Jesus, belong to one another. We grow together in our understanding. We serve, we watch other people serve, and then we understand how to do it. Then we go out and do it, bring in the people again. So that's the whole thing of why we have this purpose statement. And we try to stick to it very closely, not because we want to be the best church around, but we want, as long as we're around, to bring glory to God. I want to pray, and then we'll keep going. God, thank you that you want glory. And man, you're going to make it happen. But we would like to be a part of that, God. So make it clear to us what our next step is as individuals and as a church. And help us to be passionate to do it, to follow it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we are looking at what it means to belong. And basically, there's a few ways of looking at it. For a thing, like this Bible belongs to me. I own it. But then when you look at people, sometimes if you look at slavery, whether it's the new forms or the old forms, it doesn't matter. People would say, well, I own that person. And that is not the form of belonging. Belonging in the sense, the true sense, is a part of a team or a part of a club or even a part of, strange as it may be, a family. You might even take the world's way of looking at it, where you see a boyfriend and girlfriend say, well, you belong to me. And it's not in most of the good relationships. That's not saying, well, I own you, and I'll do whatever it is I want. That's saying, to be the best you, you belong with me. And so, to be the best us, we belong with Christ. To be the best us, he wants us to belong together, to grow and to serve and then to go. Well, it used to be that there was job loyalty. Nowadays, man, people leave jobs all the time. I know even in our church, we have some that leave every few years just for a change of pace and a change of work location. We can do that with our 401ks. But back in the olden days, man, you'd be there until you retired, and then you'd probably die a few weeks later. It used to be we had brand loyalty, where you would always buy Nikes because you knew that they were the best thing around. Now it's Apple, and you have the Apple fanboys and girls. But really, there's not as much loyalty. It's more a pragmatic, does it work? And then there used to be a lot more loyalty to your family. But it's not as much anymore. The world doesn't really care about commitments. It wants you to have love, but without the commitment, without the loyalty, because once you get tired, you might as well go on. Sometimes we think we have to go it alone. But God didn't make us for that. He made us to be a part of one body, to be together. Our passage is found in 1 Corinthians 12. If you would turn there. And this book was actually a letter that was written to Christians, early Christians in Corinth. And they were ones of those that met together in houses and fellowship together. Corinth was a great metropolis. A lot of people were there, and a lot of money was going on. A lot of god and goddess worship, and a lot of immorality. So these Christians were trying to understand where it was or how they were supposed to live as believers in that time. And chapter 12, Paul begins to talk about something called spiritual gifts. And I know most of you have been in the church or at least been studying the Bible for a long time. You know what a spiritual gift is. But I'll still say it. It is a supernatural talent that God gives to you at the point that you believe what Jesus has done on your behalf, when you accept him as Savior. And many times this supernatural talent actually coincides with another talent. Let's say you're musical, and God gives you the gift of encouragement. You use your music to encourage one another. If you are really good at speaking, God might give you the gift of pastor teacher, and you can use that gift in that role. So spiritual gifts, there's many different kinds, but one Holy Spirit that gives it at the point of salvation. These Corinthians, I think they were worried because some of them were given like the lesser gifts, like the gift of helps or encouragement or maybe even discernment. They aren't the flashy gifts like maybe the gift of tongues or the gift of miracles, healings, or even being able to be an eloquent speaker. So they were kind of bummed. What do I have to offer to Christ and the church? And that's really where we pick up. So if we could, let's read verses 12 through 14. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Well, just to reference, the body is the body of Christ, which equals the fellowship of believers, those that have trusted or put their faith in God, in Christ and his work. Then you are actually automatically put into this body as believers. The baptism that it's talking about isn't water baptism. We have a baptismal and we do baptisms, but it's not water baptism. It's at the point of salvation, the Holy Spirit baptizes you. He takes away the old nature and puts on the new nature. There's nothing you could do to get to God. Your sin kept you from him forever and ever. But believing in Jesus as Savior, he made that path. The Holy Spirit then baptized you and made the whole process possible. So that's what it's talking about. Every one of us that are believers in Christ are baptized by the Holy Spirit. That's cool. It also means we're baptized into the body of Christ. Then what does that mean? Well, there are two things. There's no superiority complexes in the body of Christ, and there's no inferiority complexes. I'll explain what that means, but let's read, starting with verse 15. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And before we go on, looking at the other verses, this section shows us that there is no inferior Christians. There are no inferior people. We might feel that we are gifted to listen to people, but we aren't one giant ear. Because if we were one giant ear, we wouldn't get anything accomplished. Well, we never do responsive readings. And we aren't a very liturgical church, but we do have traditions. And I want to have us stand. We're going to do a responsive reading. So if you could stand. As you're looking at the screen, I'll move forward with it. My part is Ivan. That is my name. Your part is actually a response. I tried to make it big and bold and easy to see. Okay, so as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Now there are diversities of gifts, but one and the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Isn't that it? Yeah. You're doing well. Okay. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. You're doing well speaking as a membered group. Okay, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body.
And I cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the hand to the feet,
And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Well done. You can be seated. That was a good exercise, and it kind of did a lot of our verses. Now, here's a question for you. What was your most important body part that you used when you were standing to say that response? Thumb? Oh, tongue and brain, yeah. Eyes, very good. Heart? Oh, yes, definitely. That's good. Leave it to the doctor. The most important thing that enabled you to stand, keyword stand, is your big toes. How many of you have your big toes covered today? Well, I would say winter, it's most of us. The big toes are not the visible thing. We spend time on our hair, maybe picking at our clothes for our body, but we cover up the lesser status members of our body, our toes. And yet they're vital for us to be able to stand and respond. That's basically what Paul is saying. We are all important. We are all needed for this. Okay, now we did the inferiority complex. You can't say, I have nothing to offer. Now we have to look at the superiority complex. Let's read then verses 21 through 26. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special mention or treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greatest honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So in our body, you probably know, if you've known the Lever 2000 commercial, there's 2,000 touchable parts on our body. That's an awful lot of parts. On the inside, there's a lot more, especially if you have to go for something like a colonoscopy or a surgery. You learn that has a lot of body parts in there. And each and every single one of those have to function properly. You know that there are sometimes rogue cells, cells in our body that want to live independently. They don't want to work together with their other groups that they were created for. And those cells sometimes become illnesses, but sometimes they become cancer cells. So it is within the body of Christ, those that want to be independent, that don't want to do what God has asked them to do together on the mission, become almost like cancerous cells. Sometimes they lead to gossip, sometimes they lead to anger, sometimes bitterness. And all these things detract from Christ's church, the body. Just as we aren't all one ear, we aren't all one eye. So we can't say, hey, I am talking up here, and everyone else is just kind of a support player. To be truthful, I don't even know if the gift of pastor-teacher, like, I don't even know if I have that. What I know from my spiritual gifts is that I have encouragement and discernment. But why would God push someone that seems to not have the gift to be able to do something like this? And sometimes the gifts, you don't understand what they are, even after you seek God, which makes me exactly the same as every other person. What part do I have to play? This is the part that God has me to play right now, and that's great. Hopefully we can be equipped. But we aren't all one eye, and we can't look down on each other. The parts that are most important, like our heart, are the ones that we cover, but really we clothe in honor. We have our big toe covered, but we know that even though its status is relegated to our stinky shoes, it is really important. So for the body of Christ, it's not saying, well, the person that cleans the church is less important than the person that plays the music. For us, it's actually the same person. Can you believe that? It's not saying that the person that helps set up is less of a person than the one that has to speak and do announcements. It's saying that we all have been put into the body specifically, how God wants us to be. If we start to rebel from this, it would be like this painting. It's a really great painting. But what would happen if the color blue said, hey, I never get any recognition, and I just don't want to be part of this anymore. You get a painting that's dull and less vibrant, just ordinary. Well, what would happen then if the color yellow said, hey, I don't get enough recognition. I wish the whole entire thing should be yellow. But because it's not, I'm going to pout and I'm going to walk away. You become less of a painting. Or it's like when you need the whole entire orchestra to be able to make the sound that the composer has made to be a complete sound. When you play a chord, it's best to actually play all of the harmonics within the chord because it sounds better. So it is with the body of Christ. When we all work together, we actually get things accomplished for His glory. Okay, and then verse 27 just sums up and it says, now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. The first part, 12 through 14, was we are one body. Then we had no inferiority, no superiority. And then he rounds it up saying, we are one body. When we hurt our thumbs, how much of your body feels it? Pretty much, yeah, all of your body. It's just a little appendage, and yet your whole entire body feels it. So it is, we should be concerned with other people that are suffering, other people that are going through problems, that are having difficulties. The way we are concerned is by talking to them, for one, but praying for them. And then we all suffer together. That's why we pray for the persecuted church, those of our brothers and sisters, especially in like Iraq and Syria, that are being killed for their faith. We pray for them because they're part of us, the body of Christ. And then when we rejoice together, it's like we lift someone up on our shoulders. We all praise together. Because God has allowed this rejoicing to happen. Well, there are some examples here at the church. And for Awana, Amy, my wife, and I, along with John and Jen, we run Awana. You might think, okay, why are there four commanders doing the job of two very good commanders? And the reason is because God has gifted us differently. Without the four of us, our program doesn't run as smoothly. Sure, it can keep going, but would spiritual needs be met? Would administrative needs be met? Would it work perfectly? Would we have 107 kids in Awana? I would say no, because we are using our four giftings to be able to help God make this happen. There's a man named Pastor Lee, who Focus on the Family made a movie of. He rescues abandoned and discarded children in Korea. And he did it well before Focus on the Family or even the TV stations there noticed him. He did it because he knew that God laid on him his heart to love the least of these. Then there is the lady named Molly Bruno, who is not an actor and who is not able to offer much because she was 91. And yet she was the prayer warrior that prayed for the War Room movie to be able to happen. To have the books written without a hiccup. And at age 91, she was the model of what Miss Clara, the main character, the prayer warrior, was modeled after. In the very last part of the movie, when Miss Clara is praising God, she uses Molly Bruno's Bible. The prayer warrior was the character that's based off of the real person. 91 years old, couldn't offer much, but she was a warrior for God on her knees. And then one last one, just to showcase why it's important we all play our part. This is a mission in Mexico. And this story has to do with an orphanage that took in disabled or handicapped kids. And it was given actually an above-ground pool. And so the staff got really excited and they started to try to put it together. But try as they might, they couldn't. So they were like, oh man, there's millions of pieces here. I don't know what to do. Basically, they just left it. And a few days later, the director gets a call, and the guy says, hi, my name is Jeff, and I'm calling from Twin Peaks Bible College. And I really feel that God wants me to come down and help. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a children's worker. I can't speak well. I'm not a gardener. I'm not a cook. I really don't know what I could offer. But I feel that God wants me to come. And the director says, sure, we'll be glad to have you. And he asks, well, what did you do before you went to Bible college? He says, for the last 20 years, I was an above-ground pool installer. So God uses even mechanical abilities. He uses every single little bit of that to help us know that we belong to Christ. Now, the main thing to belong is you have to follow Christ. Yes, you have to believe that Jesus died for your sins, that you had no way of being saved without him, that he rose again, that if you believe on him, you are saved. You have new life. But then you also need to follow him to put him first. Now, Satan, if you want to be a part of Satan's team, don't commit to anything. I think a lot of times we're suspect to this. Satan doesn't want us to commit to anything of God because he knows that things of God get accomplished. Satan doesn't want you to know that you have gifts and that you're equipped. So the way we start to work on this is get over our frustration, our bitterness, our selfishness, and say, God, how can I be involved? God, what are my spiritual gifts? And every single person has at least one spiritual gift, if not more. And like I said, many times they work with your talent. We have a study we did just a few months ago called Your Divine Design by Chip Ingram. I have the DVDs and the workbooks in my office that go through how to understand the spiritual gift that God gave you. And you're welcome to borrow it. Come talk to me. I think when you understand your spiritual gifts, it's kind of liberating because then you know, okay, this is kind of like my purpose statement. This is my mission that God has for me and how I can be involved. Well, you shouldn't be committed to something that isn't worth being committed to. That's a waste of time. So I would say, here at Denali, what do we have that's worth being committed to? Well, we have something called the directory. And this is one way we write down, these are the people that come to church and who are committed to Denali's mission, which is, again, family, missions, and to be a New Testament church. This flag, close. But basically, what this flag has done is, you know, it's an American flag, but in the Civil War, there were a lot less stars going on. And each brigade would have their own flags. Sometimes it was a local area, sometimes it was their state. And they would have the color guard, people that were chosen because of their honor and bravery, that would go out front and hold the flag firm so that the rest of the brigade would know where they are and would be able to see where they need to go. And many times they were unarmed. So here they were standing firm because they knew the mission for their brigade was important and vital. Sometimes that color guard would be taken out and killed, and someone else would come and take the flag and stand there to say, here is our station. Here is our mission. We are going forth to make this mission possible. So the rest of the brigade would go in line with this flag bearer. And so it is with being involved in a local church. You're saying, I am choosing to work with Denali. I'm saying, if that person that is holding the flag, if Ivan is taken down, I will be willing to take the flag in his place. That's exactly what being a belonging to person in a local church is. So if you don't belong to Denali, that's A-okay. Because we are all the body of Christ. We want to worship together. But because we are a local congregation, we're actually calling you to something more. God wants us to belong in fellowship with one another. He wants us to belong together. I sent an email out that talked about wolves and how they hunt. They always look for the fattest or the weakest or the most ill. How that relates to us is the ones that are cushy in their faith, the ones that don't care about their faith, or the ones that, you know, profess Jesus but don't do anything about it. Satan is a roaring lion waiting for someone to pounce on and devour. The fellowship of believers is like the fellowship in the Lord of the Rings. They are together fighting for this body of Christ, for the kingdom of God. And when you say, okay, I am agreeing with Denali's message or the mission to go into all the world and preach the gospel through family, through missions, and through growing together, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring. I'm going to hold the flag when no one else will. That's what belonging to Denali looks like. So if we're unworthy to be committed to, that's okay, because God works each person individually. But if you feel, as you ask God, is Denali where you want me to be committed to? Do it and get involved. So belonging to a church is a practical demonstration of knowing that God has us in a relationship with other believers. It helps us to know about other believers and to care for one another. So one of the things I read last week is praying the directory. Sometimes you don't know how to help other people in this congregation. Get your directory out and pray for the first family. The next day, pray for the next. If God lays it on your heart to call them or write them a note, just do it. That's one way we can help rejoice with others and hurt with others. And it's easy. It's attainable. It doesn't take much time. Well, are there just jobs then for the confident? I'm not confident. Are there jobs just for musicians or the public speakers? No, the truth is that God has made us all to play an important role in this body of believers, creating the kingdom of God. So perhaps it's giving a welcoming smile at the church door, like a greeter, which helps to reassure someone new. Or maybe to ensure that the building is clean and fresh for the Sunday service. So all gifts enhance the body of Christ. What do you have to offer? I printed out a list of ministries that we have here at Denali, and I put it on the back table. And it's surprising, all the ministries that we have, there's many and as diverse as coffee, cleaning, fixing the building, and even speaking. And so if you feel that God is leading you to belong, not only to Him, because that's the first part, belong to this local body of believers, then maybe that's one way to start. If you take away nothing, this is the one thing I want you to take away. Be the part you're made to be. God has made you with an important part. No matter how status-filled or unstatus-filled it is, what part is it? Okay, I'd like to pray. God, thank you that you care for us so deeply. Thank you that we do have a part to play in your kingdom, and help us to do it boldly. In Jesus' name, amen. Time. Bummer that we missed the last song, but if you could stand, we'll go right into the benediction. And this one is found in Romans, and it's chapter 12, verses 3 through 6a. For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. You and I are part of Christ's body, the universal church, but we're also part of this local body of believers. What's your part? Thanks for coming. You are dismissed, and I'll see you next week.